court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Swerve. And I am just a dude.
The days are racing by, Tommy.
They sure are. It's a countdown to Christmas.
I know. I remember when I was a kid, it seemed like the time between Thanksgiving to Christmas took forever. It's like the catalog came, and you go through and look at all the toys in there, and then Christmas was forever away.
I know. Well, that was because you were waiting on the receiving. Now you're having to be part of the giving, and that's much more stressful and time-consuming, so time flies when you have stuff to do.
I feel like I woke up this morning, had some coffee, next thing I know, we're sitting here in the studio.
Well, that could be. I know I used to run and check. Our tree was always downstairs when I was a kid. And I used to run and check on all the days leading up to Christmas just in case maybe Santa had to go get a few out of the way so he could make his rounds, you know. So I thought, maybe he'll come by and leave it a few days early. I better go check just in case. I wouldn't want it to sit there unattended.
Just an early delivery?
Yeah. You know, somebody's got to be on the early list. Somebody's got to get it first.
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Maybe he got his delivery days messed up.
That's right. I thought it made sense.
6-year-old Tommy, it made sense.
That's right. 13-year-old Tommy, it made sense.
28-year-old Tommy, it made sense. We could probably keep on going, I guess.
You're probably so. I wasn't sure where to cut that off. Well, Michael, I'm trying to be jovial, but once again, corporate greed raises its ugly head.
Well, it's rampant. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I mean, we live through Equifax, Wells Fargo, and even though there's corporate personhood, these people, the people remain faceless and nameless that cause these crimes against all of us. And they just walk away with $100 million packages. Oh, well, I was a bad boy. I'll take my $100 million and go home. Nothing happens. Nobody's ever penalized.
That's why it's called a golden parachute.
Yeah. They fine the company. So what? The company is not the person. People should go to jail for these things. Now it extends to another one of our fine companies. We have Uber. Have you heard the latest about Uber?
I have not.
Well, it seems that federal prosecutors are investigating allegations that Uber deployed an espionage team. They didn't just create fake accounts or let your data be hacked because they didn't want to pay for a $12.95 patch. They have their own espionage team, and it's so they can go plunder trade secrets from its rivals.
I wonder if they have like a little map, and it's got like a little spy versus spy guy, like a little icon, and it shows them like espionaging their way over to the rivals.
I'm thinking of Mission Impossible. They got Tom Cruise going and doing it or something like that. But you know how they found out about it?
How?
One of their people from their security team who was asked to be involved in it and wrote letters to their chairman saying he strongly was against this, so they fired him.
Whistleblower.
Yeah, so he let everybody know this is what was going on.
Yeah, there's lots of protections out there for whistleblowers too.
But what they had done, basically, this espionage team had gone and stolen a bunch of the technology on self-driving cars that Google was working on. And so they went out and stole that. So, you know, as if it wasn't bad enough that Uber, over the last year, has been rocked by the revelation of rampant sexual harassment inside the company, technological trickery designed to thwart regulators, and a year-long cover-up of a hack attack that stole the personal information of 57 million passengers and 600,000 drivers.
I bet I'm one of them.
Well, there's a whole lot of people that are one of them, but that all this happens, not one person will go to jail or anything else. There'll be people fired. You know, the CEO has already stepped down, but he's still making millions of dollars off of it. He didn't give up anything out of it. He just isn't managing it.
Right.
But nobody will go to jail for it. These are crimes people are committing in the name of a corporation. Corporation gets fined. The people walk away. Somewhere things have to change. people have to be held accountable for these things.
And corporate espionage is pretty nefarious.
It is. I mean, you have a team that you put together to go steal other people's stuff. That is a crime. You ever heard of Watergate?
It's pretty much un-American, too.
Well, unfortunately, it is American.
You're stealing somebody else's idea. I mean, you know, in this whole economy, you think, the American dream, you have an idea and a business, and you go forward and do it, and then Uber's coming along with their Mission Impossible's type schemes to try to steal it.
Tom Cruise breaking in your hangar and looking at your car, your self-driving car. See, you don't even have a guy in there driving to tell them that they were getting looked at. Nobody there. It's all by itself. Poor car's defenseless. Man. I don't know. It grinds my gears. That's all I can say. People aren't helping. Us poor little Joe Schmo in the street, that doesn't happen. I can tell you this. I have my little business. If I did things like that, I'd be getting, they would come and they would grab me and haul me off to jail, and they would make me face charges. But if I was part of a hotty-totty great big corporation making millions and millions of dollars, oh, they wouldn't bother me. They'd just slap my wrist and say, go off with your $100 million and your company's going to pay a fine, and everything would go on just the same.
I should have known that you're going to hammer on about corporations when I saw you walk in here with your soapbox.
That's right. It just gets me. It just keeps going on, and it doesn't get any better, and we don't hold people accountable.
Well, it seems like nobody, well, not nobody, but it seems like a lot of people don't want to earn an honest buck, and that's kind of one of the things we're going to talk about this episode is different kinds of schemes and frauds that are perpetrated on people. So, well,
no wonder in this world that of the internet where it shrinks everything down and everything is everywhere that you have to be aware because, you know, when our forefathers walked into malls to make their Christmas purchases, they didn't have to worry about someone stealing their identity or anything like that. They just paid with turkeys and ducks and stuff like that. And, you know, they can't get much information from your turkey or your duck.
I don't think forefathers actually walked into malls.
Well, they had things similar. Taverns.
Taverns.
They had all the taverns smashed together, and you could walk from tavern to tavern. I don't know. They had to get their goods from somewhere. The mercantile.
The haberdashery?
Yeah, the five and dime.
I really don't know what a haberdasher is.
That's a guy that makes hats, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's a hat maker.
A hat maker?
Yeah, that's a business you don't see much anymore.
A hat maker?
Yeah.
No, you don't?
We do still have a cobbler in town.
Yeah, we do.
And we have a suit maker.
Well, I had the suit maker hem my suit for me, and the hem came loose. And these pants I'm actually wearing right now. I have to go see him again.
Well, you should have asked for a her instead of a him. They last longer.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but as you said, the internet has definitely made the world smaller, which kind of makes it makes it easier for to target people kind of globally. So you might have these schemes which start internationally and target people abroad. Generally, it makes it easier to track these schemes too, but I think that the tracking of the international schemes has kind of come along slower than the actual schemes themselves. They're kind of always playing catch up. It's almost like the expression used frequently is a whack-a-mole. You know, you whack one mole and it pops up somewhere else.
Yeah, I know that game.
You do?
Yeah.
You play at the carnival?
Yeah, I played at the carnival.
Did you win some stuffed animals?
I did. I used to.
I always remember whenever we go to
whacking that mole.
Whenever we'd go to any kind of amusement park, you'd always come home with armfuls of stuffed animals.
Yeah, but most of those were from throwing balls, and I can't throw balls anymore. My right arm's all jacked up. I have to throw left-handed.
Can you whack a mole?
I can whack a mole right-handed. I can do anything as long as it's below the shoulder. I just can't raise the arm up.
But international mail fraud and things like that are extremely hard to target. There's different commissions out there. The International Consumer Protection and Enforcement Network, ICPEN. But they're not really like an enforcement type agency.
It sounded like you were going to say ICUP.
They're mainly set up to kind of share information to help identify these kinds of schemes. And education seems to be their main point, and they share information between different countries as to what's going on. They have a website, econsumer.gov is one of their websites, and it has some different information on there. So,
but the problem is, by the time they figure out that one's going on, how many people have already fallen for it?
Yeah, well, it seems like they're basically, like I said, education is their main way to combat it, because there's not really a great enforcement way to do it internationally. So, you
know, it reminds me of something that my dad used to say about lazy people, that they worked harder at not having to do any work than if they'd have just done the actual work.
Yeah.
And that these guys are out there trying to figure out how to scam a buck from somebody, rather than if they're smart enough to figure that stuff out, they could probably go get a real job where they need smart people and do actual work for good, not for evil.
Yeah. And some of the schemes they come up with are, you know, they're pretty clever. It's like, why don't you use your talents for good? Why must you be evil?
It's just not right. It's like if you had a superpower and you became an evil supervillain.
Yeah.
That's not right. Why would not be a good guy?
Unless you could develop a freeze ray, then that would be okay.
A freeze ray?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. You freeze stuff.
Well, if you're going to be a grocer, that might be good.
Maybe a butcher.
What? You want your meat frozen, ma'am, before you leave? Yes, please. There you go. That's another one from Freezer Man.
I don't know. I don't know why. I always thought freeze ray would be kind of fun.
If you're going to have a ray, have an X-ray.
What does that do?
X-ray vision.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you had something else in mind.
No, that's all. Gamma ray? I don't know. That turned not Bruce Wayne. That turned Bruce Banner into Hulk. The gamma rays, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what his secret was.
He was green.
He was always angry.
All right, Michael, you I'm sure are a savvy veteran of the internet. Now, me not so much. I don't really do any shopping online. I'll leave that up to Mary.
I have definitely crawled some web pages in my day.
All right. If you're
some of them I wish to forget.
We don't want to talk about any porn sites now.
I'm not talking about that.
This is about e-commerce.
There's other dark places in the internet that aren't porn that are still places you want to forget.
The dark web. Have you ventured into the dark web?
I've cleared my browser.
It's a good thing. If you die, you don't want to have your browser loaded down.
No, sir.
Now, what's one of the first things, if you are maybe not familiar with the site and you want to try to figure out if they have good products or whatever, what's one of the things that you would do?
I would probably check to see if there's any reviews for that site.
So that's good. That's a good way. So if they have good ratings and good reviews, then that would lead you to believe that they're probably a legitimate site with good quality products, right?
Yeah, you would think so.
Well, have you ever heard of a practice called brushing? Not to do with your teeth or your hair or even your pants, you know, if you got lint on them or something, lint brush.
What about brushing your dog?
Well, I don't even consider that. I don't have a dog.
Okay. No, I have not heard of brushing. I don't know what that is.
Well, it is the latest thing in Chinese e-criminals that they are using. Seems that I read the story. The lady woke up one morning to find an unexpected package from China on her front porch.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a little suspect. You get a package from China. It was addressed to her at her address and everything.
Yeah. I'd be a little leery of that.
So you might be a bomb or something, or maybe they're sending you fentanyl. Fentanyl comes from China. They've been shipping it out of there because it's legal over there.
If it's a big box and it's got it full of fentanyl, you're in trouble.
Well, that's true.
You might be dead just from looking at it.
But anyway, I mean, it would be kind of scary to get that, right?
Yes.
So,
or puzzling.
Or puzzling. Like, scary or puzzling, depending on your curiosity factor.
This could be the start of a great adventure.
Or if you're a conspiracy theorist, it could be, you know, they found me. They're trying to rub me out. But anyway, she opens it up, and there's five little headbands with her hairbands with a little, like, ladybug on them.
Okay.
Not a real ladybug, like a metal piece of art.
Okay.
And that's what's in there. Nothing else. She doesn't get it. So anyway, she just takes it in, sets it on the counter. Next day, another one shows up. Next day, another one. Some days, multiple ones show up. She has gotten packages of these every day for a year. She's got these things coming out of her ear where she's finally just throwing them away every day she comes. She can't find anything out about them and doesn't know why she's getting them. Well, what it is, people are boosting their ratings and reviews on certain sites that are not legitimate sites. What they're doing is ordering merchandise from this site,
mm-hmm.
and then they're not real people, though. They're creating accounts
right.
and ordering merchandise from this site, and it has to actually ship and deliver like they're doing it through Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So then it ships and delivers, and then they can leave a review. So you have to actually buy something and complete it. So what they're doing is they're showing that there are other items. Like, it might be more expensive items. It might be jewelry or dresses or whatever that they're actually showing.
Yeah.
So they actually have to ship a package, but that's all they're shipping is these little 2-cent hairbands.
Oh, so they know which ones are which.
Yeah.
So they might...
They're working with this company to increase their reviews and their ratings so that people think it's legitimate when they look at it.
So they might be ordering like a TV from this seller.
But correct.
In all actuality, what they're shipping is 5 hairbands with ladybugs on it.
Exactly. So, and the of course, they're not real accounts. So the financial transaction isn't really taking place, but they are showing the shipping so that Amazon shows it. So then you get to leave your review, and you leave a review about what how great the product is, but you're not a real person. And in some cases, they even got robots that do this.
Hmm.
The robots go through and do the ordering and then fill in their reviews. They have a random generator of how they do the reviews so that they all go in there and they leave 5-star ratings or whatever. So this is a way for illegitimate businesses to boost their reviews on legitimate sites.
I got to admit, that's kind of brilliant.
It is, but it's also scary because now what do you trust? It's like you said, because I didn't set you up. I didn't tell you what I was going to ask you.
No.
But the first thing is, what do you do if you want to try to see? Go to the reviews and ratings.
Yeah.
I've heard Mary say that. I wouldn't know where to look. I don't know what that means exactly. I mean, I know what it means, but I don't know. I wouldn't know to do that.
Yeah.
But.
Well, we usually think that somebody who has firsthand experience should be trusted because they've had experience dealing with that company.
It's like it has something to do. They say a lot of it is being checked through like that Alibaba. Have you heard of that? It's like a Chinese Amazon.
No.
That's going through their stuff. But I mean, to me, that was just unbelievable because I never would have thought of that. Now I've heard Mary say before, it's like when we went to get our Christmas tree, when our Christmas tree place closed down, and we weren't going to be able to get the tall tree that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to buy one. The first thing she did is start looking at reviews on the trees before we bought it.
Oh yeah. I'm big on reviews. I read lots of them.
Yeah. And now you find out, hey, somebody's boosting their numbers and making themselves look good. So now when you go to that site to buy stuff from them, it might just be a fraud. And this poor lady's getting hair bands for the rest of her life. But they probably got, she remembered going to a site that was connected with China.
Mm-hmm.
and getting something. Now, she got something legitimate, but what she thinks is they got her information from her there.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they're just using her address to ship these things too. So...
She should turn around and sell them, make a profit.
Well, I mean, if you looked at them, they're just those little elastic black bands with mm-hmm. just a little metal stamped out thing on it that looks like a ladybug or a heart or something like that.
Sell them for a quarter apiece. That's all profit, baby.
Yeah, it is all profit, but I don't think anybody would pay a quarter for them. You can buy a bag full of them for like $1. The economics just aren't there, dude.
Well, I think we got some more stories about fraud and whatnot, and trickery.
But first, I think it's time for me to approach the bench to pay for court costs, isn't it?
I believe it is. Do you have any emotions?
Well, I do have. I have motions and emotions. I've let the emotions out. Now I'm going for the motion.
Who's on the docket today?
Well, we have on the docket today our good friends at Cameron Hughes Wines. We love Cameron Hughes Wines. We have them ourselves.
Absolutely.
We use them in the Thanksgiving holidays to entertain, both
absolutely.
Red and white. And we're going to get some more for the Christmas holidays.
I'll tell you what I have not done is I have not given any away to anybody, like going over to visit people, because I want to keep it all myself.
Well, I mean, it's great wine to keep around the house when people come over and you can serve them that. And they think, man, they just went for a $50 bottle of wine that they served me there. That was really good. And you can get their deals, though. It might only be $15.
Yeah, absolutely. These are luxury wines at value prices.
But, I mean, if you really want to give it away, that deal that we had last week was a great one. You buy a case, you get the bags, the gift bags that come with it.
Yeah. But, see, I'm more of a Grinch. I want to keep it all myself.
Well, I know what you mean. I'm not much on giving it away either, unless it's one of those things where somebody invites you over for some big soiree.
Yeah.
And you got to bring a bottle of wine, you know, when you go along.
A sorry?
Yeah. Usually I get one that, you know, let's give them this one. It's been sitting around here for a while. Nobody will drink it. I usually take that. But, you know, if you get Cameron Hughes, you're bringing them the good stuff.
Yeah. And they'll be very happy when they receive a bottle of Cameron Hughes.
But it's a holiday season, which means wine season. So, you know, it's hard to find luxury wines at value prices, but Cameron Hughes makes that achievable.
With Cameron Hughes wine, you can find fantastic quality wine at everyday prices. Like Tommy said, a $50 bottle of wine for $15.
Cameron finds the needle in the haystack wine from top wineries around the world, blends them, and sells them direct to you under his label for 50% less than what you would pay at retail.
With Cameron Hughes Wine, you know you're getting the best deal always. Like we said, luxury wines at affordable prices.
Cameron has been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Wine Enthusiast, The Wine Spectator, and he has serious industry cred.
But here's the real deal. Cam guarantees all his wines.
Guarantees.
If you're ever unhappy with any bottle you buy from him, he will make it right.
He will make it right.
That's right.
So right now, the holidays are here, so Cam has a great offer for all our listeners.
Free shipping on three or more bottles and a free sommelier-grade corkscrew.
I'm glad you got that word. This is a great deal to try these already discounted wines.
And free shipping is a huge savings. Wine is very heavy and super expensive to ship.
So this is a great deal for all your holiday parties, either to serve or as a gift. Unless you're a Grinch like Michael, then you're just going to keep it.
The wine is fantastic. The deal is fantastic. Do not miss out now on this limited time offer.
Go to chwine.com and use the code COURT right now.
That's chwine.com and enter the code COURT.
The holidays are here, so go to chwine.com today. Merry Christmas.
Bye, humbug. Who do we have next?
Next on the docket are our good buddies at DollarShaveClub.com.
So you've heard us talk about the amazing shave that we get from Dollar Shave Club razors.
We go on and on about them.
We do. Even though I have a beard, I still got to trim around the beard and all those little different man face parts of mine.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to look like Cousin It.
No. And it's a close shave, especially when I use the Dr. Carver shave butter. And like I said, with my beard, it's great because it's clear and you can see the lines you're shaving. It's brilliant.
Well, I prefer the clean shaven look for myself. Since my beard comes in white, it makes me look like Father Time. So I shave all mine off, and I've been loving my DollarShaveClub.com razors ever since we started in this program. You've heard us talk about how amazing it is, and especially when we use a shave butter. But I'm never going to give up my membership. I'm adding even more Dollar Shave Club products to my daily routine.
Dollar Shave Club makes products for your hair, face, skin, shower.
Even your butt.
Even your butt. Everything you need. They keep you looking and feeling amazing.
And it's all their own original stuff. They only use the finest premium ingredients, and they deliver it to you just like they do their razors.
It's crazy holiday season. When you have Dollar Shave Club, that means no more annoying trips to the store, cruising up and down the aisles, looking at the shelf saying, what the hell is that? And what do I do with it?
Golly, Ethel, I don't know what that is. I use Dollar Shave Club for just about everything. They've got me covered head to toe and the butt in between. And with the gift memberships and e-gift cards available, Dollar Shave Club can help cover the names on your holiday shopping list too.
So right now, we want you to love Dollar Shave Club as much as we do. So we've arranged for you to try your first month of their best razor along with travel-size versions of shave butter, body cleanser, and yes, even butt wipes for just
$5. $5?
Tommy loves those butt wipes.
They do the job. They finish up the paperwork. After that, replacement cartridges ship for just a few bucks a month. It's the Dollar Shave Club starter set. Get yours for just $5 exclusively at DollarShaveClub.com/court.
That's DollarShaveClub.com/court.
Tell them Mike and Tommy sent you.
Bah, humbug.
Merry Christmas. All right. Now, earlier I told you about how I was an inexperienced online shopper.
Okay.
So I try to avoid doing that.
I would believe that.
Yeah, I don't make many purchases. I give Mary my list. A lot of Christmases, she's filled my list out for her.
It's always funny when I come to your house during the holidays and I show up on the front step because there's always boxes.
Oh yeah,
always boxes.
Yeah, she was a what do you call that? An early adopter.
Yeah.
When it comes to online shopping, she's been doing it for a while, so she's a veteran of the online shopping wars.
And she's like a holiday elf too. She's always finding the perfect gift for everybody.
Oh yeah, she's good at that. She puts a lot of thought into it.
She does. I get a gift from her. I'm like, I mentioned that one time 3 years ago. Wow. Thank you.
She does. She pays attention. Unlike me, I barely know where I'm at. Now, I had a out-of-body experience and was in my office one day, and I was reading an article about something, and this ad popped up, and it was for a coat. And I looked, and I thought, that's a damn fine-looking coat. Matter of fact, I would like to wear that coat. The coats I have are adequate, but I don't really have a nice-looking coat that I could be proud of.
Yeah.
I like that coat.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to click on that and see what that's about.
Uh-oh.
So I clicked on it and looked, and I thought, that's pretty good. I think I might like that. Oh, it comes in two colors. So I clicked on the other color and looked, damn, that one looks good too. I like both of them. I thought, man, this is going to be a hard choice. I think I'm going to get one. Now, which one? And then I looked at the price. It was only $24.88. And I thought, $24.88? Why make a choice? I'll buy both of them.
Yeah, those prices.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
You'd be crazy not to.
So I ordered this coat from a site called, and I don't know how you pronounce this. I'm going to pronounce it Gamiss. G-A-M-I-S-S.
Oh, I've seen that one before, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got these sharp-looking kind of fitted clothes and everything.
Yeah.
So
I've seen that website before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, you can purchase. It's a website where you can purchase various kinds of stuff, such as clothing, jewelry, accessories, bags, shoes, watches, beauty products, home and garden products, and so on. It also offers an affiliate program where members can earn up to 20% commissions by selling their stuff. However, the aforementioned Gamiss is a fraud.
What do you mean?
Well, you're not getting what you asked for. And I didn't know if I thought, you know, first of all, it took a month. I ordered these jackets together and they only charged me one shipping charge. It took a month for them to show up.
Okay.
One showed up and then the other one showed up 2 weeks later.
That's a little suspect.
Yeah. They show up 2 weeks later. Well, I thought, I wonder if this is unusual. So I went and read the reviews on this. Well, it ends up, that's what people talked about. It was taking months for things to show up. Most people would give up after a while.
Yeah.
Then they'd try to get their money back, and they couldn't get their money back, or they would issue them a credit. And then the thing that really got me was everybody had the same kind of comment about, you don't know what the sizing is going to be when you get it. It's not the same materials as what you think you're ordering, and the things are just shoddily made.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting what you pay for. The object I saw in that picture was like an artist's rendering of what a nice coat would be. The actual product was more like pleather with a towel inside.
Yeah, it sounds like just puffery.
Oh, it was much more than puffery. I mean, you can't say it's 100% cotton and then sell somebody that's 100% synthetic. That's not puffery. That's an out-and-out lie. But I saw that a lot of other people went through the same things with them. So I don't think that I'm making this claim just based on my own behalf. They said what they recommend in this article that I read about it, they said don't have any dealings with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see anything on there from Gamiss, I'm going to tell you, don't buy anything from it. You will be sadly disappointed. It's not going to get here in time for Christmas anyway.
Or if it's something that's like that you want to buy and you're paying a super cheap price for, just realize you're probably going to get what you pay for.
And that's one of the things that they said in one of this other article that I have about that. But here, I want to try something we've never tried before.
Uh-oh.
I want to try a live demonstration, even though this is recorded, so I guess that's not live. But we're live right now. Are you alive? I'm alive.
Do I need gloves or any kind of protective eyewear?
I'm going to supply you with the protective gear here.
Okay.
I brought along the coat in question. Now...
You did indeed.
First of all, I
didn't even see you carry that in here.
I did.
I didn't see it because you had that soapbox.
First of all, you know, I'm a fairly big guy.
Yeah.
But I'm not huge.
No.
So I ordered an extra large.
Yeah.
I figured that'd be about right. Now, what would you order in a jacket if you were ordering a jacket?
Probably a large, maybe an extra large if it ran small.
Okay. But you don't have any way of knowing if you've never gotten a product from people, right?
No. I mean, I wear a 42 coat, which is probably that's a large.
Yeah, well, this was kind of a fitted coat, so I thought, well, I don't want it looking like a tent, you know? So I got an extra large, and I figured, you know, I've lost a few pounds, I could I can wear an extra large. I'd be all right.
Yeah.
Now, you're smaller than I am. Yep. I mean, you're still a healthy guy, but you're smaller than I am. So here's this extra large. Try this extra large on. First of all, look at it and take a look at what a sharp product that is.
Yeah. It's $24. It's not like horribly made. I mean, was it supposed to be a leather?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not leather.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, at a distance, it could pass as one of those like tablecloths that you go to a restaurant. It's plastic that you eat on.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's about like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plastic kind of thing. Now try this extra large coat on.
I see it does say XL.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to stand up and try this on. Oh, yeah. She's a little tight.
Now, that's an extra large, and you are not an extra large guy. And see that it stretches just for you to button it. Now, can you imagine me in there?
Oh, I could totally just flex and bust out of this thing.
Yeah, all the buttons would come popping off and hit me. But look at that coat, even on. It does not look sharp. The picture, it looks like a sharp coat. That does not look like a sharp coat. We decided we'd just keep it as a prop for our theater because that...
Yeah, it's pretty tight.
And you're smaller than me. Now, I got extra. I couldn't wear it. Now, do you notice anything else about it? I think you're on the right track. You stuck your nose in there.
It smells a little funky.
It is pretty funky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, this is the actual tag. I tore this off. This is the actual tag that came on the product.
Oh, God. What is it, made of rat hair? Is this some sort of trick?
My guess is it's made out of yak's ass. That's what I describe it as. Yeah, it smells like yak's ass.
I'm taking it off now.
So now you know what a yak's ass smells like. Now, this is the actual note that was on this product, on the tag. This came on here. I know you're not going to believe this, that you think I wrote this. This is the actual note. I'm going to read it word for word. I'm not going to clean up the English on it or anything else. This is the way it's written. Due to this clothing material itself contains the peculiar smell of the inevitable.
What?
That's what it says. What? I better read that again for clarification. Due to this clothing material itself contains the peculiar smell of the inevitable. So in the outdoor air is basked in after a few days can reduce the odor. I hope not mind. That's the actual card. That's what it says. It contains the smell of the inevitable.
Well, you know, they didn't spend money on a translator to put that on. The smell of the inevitable.
What does that mean? What is it, inevitable? Yeah, because it came from a yak's ass. That's why it's inevitable.
I feel like I'm kind of dirty now.
I know. Now you smell like the coat. You're going to go home and Stephanie's going to say, Michael, what did you do?
Well, I got an indoor soccer game tonight, so I'm going to be a little sweaty. So hopefully
hung out with the New Zealand guys in the sewer.
Yeah. Well, that was an interesting experiment. I think I'd like to see you try it on.
I can't get it on. I could get one arm in, but I couldn't even get the other arm in. I couldn't even get it pulled up over my shoulders.
Makes me think of the Chris Farley skit. Fat guy in little coat.
But that thing, I learned my lesson. I will never order anything online again.
Yeah, it runs a little small.
A little small? It runs a lot small because you'd normally get by with a large
in most
clothing.
Yeah.
And that you couldn't button that and wear it. And that's an extra large.
I would wear an extra large in a coat maybe if it was like outerwear and I was going to wear a sweater underneath it or something like that. Like,
right.
You know, just because I have layers. But
yeah,
I would have to wear a 2XL. In this coat.
So I'd need like a 5XL or something, you know.
I've never worn a 2XL in my life.
And they'd have to employ Omar the Tent Maker or something to make my coat. I'm not sure.
That'd be a lot of yak ass.
Yeah, I'd kill a lot of yaks for all that ass to make my coat. But that's the end of me going online shopping. That was it. That was a swing and a gamiss.
And there you have it. This whole bit was just a setup for that one punchline.
I wish that's what it was. There went my $24.88 for two coats.
What was the other coat?
$24.88. It was just like that, but it was in black.
Oh.
It was really more of a gray. It was a dark gray.
Yeah.
But it was the same. It didn't fit. It looked crappy, you know, but just it wasn't going to work. And I did notice in a lot of the reviews, they said the sizing is all over the place. And several of them wrote, I think that the small, medium, and large and extra large is in children's sizes. I'm not sure they're in adult sizes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Now, the one thing you can do, if you do purchase these with credit cards, you can always dispute those charges too. So.
Well, I did, but I mean, they sent me a coat.
Yeah.
And it was a $24 coat, so...
That's true.
I would say they'd probably say, what did you think you were going to get?
Well, but the thing is, too, if you do dispute it, then at least they have to waste their time and money trying to make sure to keep those charges for themselves. So, you know, if they're wasting time doing that, adding cost and expense there, at least you're getting some retribution and maybe protecting other people. So that's the way I look at it.
If they'd asked me, why do you think it was getting so cheap? Why do you think you were getting it so cheap? I'd have just said, well, I thought I was getting it on some good child labor rates or something like that. What was it? Who was it that had that over there, had that got came under all the fire? Some celebrity that had another country that was making their products and they found out it was all child labor.
Martha Stewart?
Somebody like that. I don't know.
It seems like it happens a lot.
Yeah, more than you'd care to remember, huh? Well, the Better Business Bureau has some warnings that are out. One of them is on PandoraPick.com.
I've never heard of that one.
Well, the site boasts discounts up to 75% off on jewelry, such as charm bracelets, charms, beads, and earrings. PandoraPick.com closely resembles Pandora jewelry site.
Yeah.
So see, they're trying to make you think that they're related to Pandora Jewelry, which is a legitimate site.
Yeah.
They're a Danish jewelry company with U.S. headquarters in Baltimore. But PandoraPick.com, the Better Business Bureau says, is selling cheap imitations from China. They've received complaints through their scam tracker tool from users who've received low-quality items. The two sites look similar at first blush, but a closer look at PandoraPick.com reveals red flags, such as grammatical errors and a statement on the payment page saying the buyer may be charged international fees.
Mm.
Pandora Jewelry writes on its website, Pandora will continue to fight those who attempt to abuse our name and brand to sell counterfeit products. So, it says, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation Development, the global counterfeit trade industry is worth nearly $500 billion a year.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be a part of that.
Well, no, I mean, like some sites actually not boast that, but that's like, you know, you're getting that kind of deal. I know, especially like when you have limited release of different kinds of like tennis shoes and things like that, those mm-hmm. are like super hot commodity these days. If you get one that's a really good deal, it's probably not a real one.
Yeah. Well, that's what they said. Cheap knockoffs are not the only problem. There are a lot of websites that are not even shipping a fake product. They're just taking the money and running.
I've traveled overseas a little bit. And I know like in Bali, they have these shops and whatnot, and they have sunglasses there. They have Oakleys, but they're not really Oakleys. They're Folkleys, like fake Oakleys. And then I bought a pair of these little cheap sunglasses that look like Ray-Bans. They're like $2 or $3. They actually said Ray Banditos on the side.
Well, at least they're having fun with it.
Yeah.
Man, you don't want to be in Bali right now.
Why is that?
Well, a volcano erupting there.
Oh, really? Which one?
Yeah. Well, the one that last time erupted was 1963.
Ooh.
And it's erupting again, and they got it like 60,000 people trapped there on the island. They can't get off because they can't fly any flights because of the smoke and everything from it. So... that's not a good scene to be there right now.
Well, when I was there, actually, I hiked a volcano. I was just looking at the one that's erupting, I guess, is Mount Agung, but I hiked Mount Batur. But well, it was weird because you hiked it basically in the dark, and you got there for sunrise, and so you'd see the sunrise on it, and they served hard-boiled eggs that they cooked in the...
in the lava?
Not, well, there was no lava, but the steam coming through because it was somewhat active, so that's crazy.
Yeah, it's erupting. It's quite a sight. Then they had rains that it was causing rains or whatever, and all this gray sludge was washing down the mountains and into the villages.
Holy cow! I didn't even realize. When did that happen? Today?
No, it's been going on for about 3 days now, I think.
Where have I been?
I don't know. You said you've been busy. That you go into work, and next thing you know, you're home for the night. You've been busy.
That's true.
So that's. I guess you don't watch the news. I record the news so I can watch it whenever I miss it.
Yeah, I haven't even had really much time to play on the internet and read the news that way.
I got to keep up with the world and what's going on.
Well, I, okay, well, shocking news.
Well, glad to keep you informed. That's what we're here for.
I'm glad it didn't erupt when I was hiking it.
Yeah, me too. Well, that was a different one.
Well, but still, it's...
You would have been on high ground, so you would have been out of the way.
Well, I imagine if one was erupted, I mean, what's going to say the other one couldn't do it too? I mean, there was like steam flowing from it, and they got to be on some sort of close tectonic plate of lava or something.
It's the old saying, one good erupture deserves another.
Okay.
Now, back to the subject. The Better Business Bureau offers these tips to help define what is legitimate. This first one should have been a tip-off to me. Too steep of discounts.
Yeah.
Said, usually if, let's say you see a handbag for $50 on a site, you're sure is legitimate. If you don't see any for sale under $100 on shopstyle.com, the one you saw is likely a fake. So it's saying if you see them, you know that you normally buy a Louis Vuitton bag.
Right.
And you know those normally run $500 or something. You see one for sale for $25. It's probably a fake.
And Better Business Bureau is like, but we know ShopStyle's good, so go there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they pay to advertise on their website.
Then
corporate greed.
That's right. They paid to have you there. So another one is poor website design and sloppy English. So that's one that other group mentioned too.
Yeah.
That's one of the things you look for is read through all their descriptions and stuff like that. And if it has grammatical errors and stuff like that, it's probably not real. A suspect domain name. Most retail websites have simple URLs like michaelkors.com, louisvuitton.com, or calvinklein.us. If the company has a trademark on its name, its domain name typically matches that name. If you see extra words in the URL like deals, sales, or super discounts, as well as extra characters, there's a good chance that website is a scam. You can also type an address into Google's transparency report to see the site's safety rating from Google.
So if I go to sale.calvinklein/screw.u.us, that's probably not a valid website to go to.
Yes, or greatsales@yaksass.com. That's probably not real either.
It's 100% pure yaksass.
The site hasn't been around for very long. It says that with some exceptions, most established brand names and retailers have been on the internet for years. If you're not sure about a site, check the Wayback Machine, archive of the internet found at archive.org.
Or just put Wayback Machine into Google.
Yeah, that'll do it. Users can look up a website and see archived versions of the website across time. You can actually see what content used to be there and what design used to be there.
You know, one holiday shopping tip that I really like.
What's that?
It's a website called, they're not an advertiser, but I just like it. Camel, Camel, Camel.
Camel, Camel, Camel?
Yep. It's how you can track online prices of things.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I put in
call it that. Why not just put one camel in there so you have to type so much?
I'm sure camel.com was taken by...
The cigarette people?
A big camel industry.
Actual camels or camel cigarettes?
Probably real camels.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of market out there for camels.
Camels, camels, camels. We've got them all. Big ones, small ones, bumpy ones.
But you can put a product in there and basically it'll alert you when there's a price drop for it on different websites and things like that. Hmm. So kind of interesting.
All right. Well, we're learning about lots of useful sites there to use. Also be suspect if you can't pay with a credit or debit card. If the seller is requiring you to pay by money order, Bitcoin, cash, or wire transfer or a prepaid gift card, they're probably not reputable.
I would think not.
Also, if they're asking for unnecessary personal information, such as your social security number, they don't need that to perform a financial transaction with you. So
don't
give it to them.
Unless they want to etch it inside of your yak's ass jacket.
Shady contact information. If the contact email given is a Yahoo email address, or if there's simply a form to fill out on their page instead of an address or phone number, watch out. Trusted retailers typically use their company name or the site's domain name in their email address. An international contact number is another major sign something is amiss. Try calling that number if you suspect something isn't right. If you don't get an answer during normal business hours or the number isn't in service, the site probably is not legitimate. You can also look up the website on GoDaddy's Whois tool. That's Whois tool.
Yeah, it tells you who owns that website.
Who is will show you the email address and phone number associated with the account where the site is purportedly located. If the site is located in China and the brand is based in New York, this could be a major tip-off.
Yeah.
Unclear refund policy. So if the trustworthy retailer will tell you how and where to return a product if you're unhappy. Fake websites, on the other hand, will often have refund policies that are difficult to understand, hard to find, or non-existent. Poor reviews, unless they're brushing.
Yeah.
Now, if they're brushing, they might have good reviews. But if they're not brushing, then they're going to have bad reviews. So if you're not sure about a site, like if I had gone and looked up Gummis before I ordered my cheap yak-ass coats, I wouldn't have ordered it because the reviews said, hey, this is not a good thing.
Yeah.
So
do your homework.
See, if I'd have known, I would have done that. If I'd have listened to this podcast before I did it, then I would know. What I didn't know then, I would know now. And I could go back and fix myself.
Yeah. Or if you could freeze time with your freeze ray and then go back in time.
And I could have looked through with my x-ray and seen it ahead of time.
That's right.
If you think you've been scammed and you've already made the purchase, file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission, your state attorney general, or the Better Business Bureau. Then another thing they say is trust your instincts.
Yeah.
Which, you know, my red flags were kind of buzzing on that when I saw the coat, 2488.
Too good to be true.
Yeah. And instead, I went the other way and said, I don't need to decide. I'll buy both of the coats.
I'll double down on this bad feeling.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a scam, so I'll buy both of them.
Well, here in the U.S., we do have the Consumer Protection Act and unfair trade practices, and that's a federal thing. And each state generally has their own kind of similar statutory language as well. And as you said, it's usually located with your local attorney general's page, too. So if you have any kind of complaint, that's the place to take it. Better Business Bureau, I kind of have mixed feelings about them. I think they do serve some sort of good purpose, but I think they can be a bit kind of scammy in and of themselves as well.
I don't trust them.
Yeah, because they basically, if you get a bad review on there, they want you to pay them basically to kind of take it off, and you have to be a member, part of their members. And
they want you to pay a yearly fee so that they'll list you.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what kind of business I run. I could go around and cheat all kinds of people, but as long as I pay them to be on their list, then I'm on their list.
It's a little sketchy.
Yeah, I don't trust that at all. And not only that, there was a couple of items that I read where the people's main thrust that they thought this was a good business is they were listed with the Better Business Bureau. They were on their list.
Yeah.
So that's why they used them. Well, apparently they just paid their fee so they could list that.
A lot of people think the Better Business Bureau is some sort of governmental agency, and not. It's a private corporation. So.
Yeah, and they should actually know who they're endorsing. I mean, if they came to my business and looked it over and looked at whatever kind of records they would need to determine, you know, what that is, I guess the only thing they can look at is, has anyone ever filed a complaint on you?
Yeah.
With us.
Yeah.
That's as far as it goes. And if they haven't, then they'll take your money and say you're a good guy for a year.
The one thing that we were talking about is kind of like these international things, and there's not really like a great way to crack down on them. There is international court systems, but those are generally for criminal type things, like war criminals and things like that.
Yeah. Did you see what happened at The Hague today?
I did. That's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
That was the war criminal
from Bosnia.
That's right. He stood up and basically said, I don't accept this, the ruling.
And he drank poison and died.
Yeah. It was bizarre.
That's committed.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, the difference between the chicken and the pig.
Yeah.
When the guy sat down for breakfast and he said he was going to tell him, he said there's a difference between committed and involved.
Oh,
yeah. Anybody can be involved, but not just anybody can be committed. He said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, take, for instance, those eggs on your plate. He said, yeah. And he said, that chicken that laid those eggs, they were involved in your breakfast. But that ham there, that pig was committed to your breakfast.
I've heard you tell that before.
This guy was committed to what he was doing.
Yeah.
I am not a criminal. He's like Richard Nixon without the poison. I am not a crook.
Yeah, it was bizarre. And the you could tell the judge there, he was kind of shocked that it took place. He said something, close the curtains.
Yeah, well, they all kind of jumped up when he did that. His lawyer's the one that yelled out. He just said, I don't accept this, drank the poison. And his lawyer jumped up and said, he drank poison.
Yeah.
Take him to the hospital and find out if it's true. Well, he was dead.
I don't know what I would do if that happened to my client. That would be kind of bizarre. I mean, I'm sure I would say, call an ambulance, but I would be freaked out by it.
Well, you might grab him and say, write out the check, quick.
No, we don't go into court till Mr. Green makes his appearance.
Oh, you already had the money.
That's right.
You say, did you say, well, Honor, we rest at this point.
No, we're good.
Rest? He's taking a dirt nap.
Your Honor, I would like to file a suggestion of death. It's actually a thing you file in court if your client has
Since
died.
We're here to save time and money, I'd just like to go ahead and file that.
Yeah. I'll just write it out in this piece of paper.
Man, that's pretty tough.
Yeah. So there's a lot of fraud out there on the internet, but there's a lot of good protection out there too, with regard to your state and local agencies. And if you are smart about it and kind of do your homework and try to avoid those things that seem like they're too good to be true, you should be safe.
Well, but we've given you some good sites though to write those down. I would say if you didn't get them, go back and listen and get those sites that can help you in case you're not sure about the veracity of a site.
I think most of our listeners are pretty internet savvy though. I'm going to go out on a limb.
That's all news to me, so I don't know. I got one more, and it's a specific one. It's for a pill called Rejuvabrain. And it's supposedly supposed to help you with cognitive function.
Uh-huh.
And that there are several different forms of this under different names. But the thing they have in common is that they show these fake news stories and ads from people such as Stephen Hawking and Anderson Cooper,
mm-hmm.
neither of which have endorsed this product. But they've set up fake ads with these people involved in it, talking about it's the greatest breakthrough and all this kind of stuff. So you see people like that, you tend to believe it. Stuff. And they're mostly all internet advertising and things. And they get you a couple different ways. One is they tell you that the first bottle is free, and then but you have to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
So then they get your credit card to pay for the shipping.
Keep billing you over and over and over.
Yeah. And in fine print, what you didn't see and may not even appear on the page is that you signed up for it. And if you didn't return that within 10 days, they automatically bill you $120 for the next shipment.
Whew.
And the thing is there is no pill right now that the FDA or anybody says works along these lines. So it doesn't matter what you read or who's advertising, but specifically the ones with Anderson Cooper and Stephen Hawking, they don't work. That's all, like I say, it's a couple of different names. Rejuvabrain was the one that was in this one, but they did say there's several different ones.
So if I want to go into court and talk good and smart, make people think I'm doing good, I can't take my Rejuvabrain pill?
Nope. Rejuvabrain will not help you.
Nope.
They'll still say you sound like Homer Simpson from West Virginia.
Crikey.
Donuts.
Well, that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
Legal Briefs is part of the show where we go over different legal terms, which we did not have many of in this episode. It was mainly just kind of a scam type rundown. But
well, we're helping people have a merrier Christmas. We don't want them to get ripped off in their purchases.
That's
right. We worked too hard for our money for that to happen.
That's right. So one of the things I have is, what does ICPEN stand for?
That was the one I made the joke about ICUP. ICPUN. International Commission Protect E-Commerce. Protect you in e-commerce.
It wasn't an E. It wasn't a U. It was an E.
Oh.
It's the International Consumer Protection and Enforcement Network.
That's what I meant to say.
I'll tell you, it's one thing. Whenever you start dealing with international law and things like that, they love their acronyms. Oh, it's everywhere. I mean, you could have a test basically on acronyms. And actually, I think when I was in school, I had a test that only dealt with acronyms and trying to remember what the different acronyms stood for.
Everything that has to do with the government has acronyms.
Yeah.
That's just the way they do things. It's where snafu came from.
I'll take your word for that because I'm drawing a blank.
You didn't know that snafu is an acronym.
Situation normal.
Mm-hmm.
What's the A?
All.
Oh, okay. Situation normal, all. F-U, which I think
all
I can
F'd up.
I can figure that up.
Yep. Oh, that's it.
I didn't know that's what snafu meant.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what when somebody would say that's somebody's M.O.,
modus operandi.
I just recently discovered that.
You're a lawyer. You have to know what M.O. means.
Probably about a year ago. Well, I didn't realize, I knew what M.O. meant. I mean, I knew, like, I didn't know it actually stood for modus operandi.
Yeah.
I knew what each of those meant.
Those are Latin words.
Well, I knew what each one meant independently, but I'd never linked them together.
Method of operation.
Yeah. I never actually linked them together.
I'm glad to teach you that, counselor. That was your legal brief.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. Luckily, I took my Rejuva brain tonight, and I'm feeling very, very clever. So,
well, good. I'm glad it's working for you. We'll have to increase the sugar load in those pills.
Now, say if you have some sort of complaint against a business, who would you go see in your state?
The Attorney General.
That's right. And what kind of act would they be protecting you with?
Consumer Credit Act.
Consumer Protection Act.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, that's going to do it for Legal Briefs.
Well, I had one for you.
Uh-oh, here we go.
What is the, what do you call the method that's used to boost scam sites, ratings, and reviews?
Let me use my Gamiss ray on my brain. It's called brushing.
Correct. You got it right. And what is the material of choice from scam operators when they make a coat?
It's obviously yak's ass.
You're right. That's what it is. And if you have to admit that it is a smell of the inevitable.
Thanks to everybody for listening. And thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcast for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well, then not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out, though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I...